We have sheets for the message this morning. If you want to follow what we're seeking to understand for our lives from Mark and chapter 1, particularly verses 4 to 15. So our first point this morning is, look, he has come. Look who's come. See, look who's here. Who is it? Why has he come? Is it significant? What's it about? He's arriving. He's entering. He's coming. He is now here. Go see who it is. Look at the Bible in Mark in chapter 1 and verse 14 and see him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. He has come. Jesus Christ has come. The important one, the special one, the unique one has arrived. Consider you have somebody coming to your house and you've waited for them and they've arrived and news goes round the house that he's here. Somebody you've waited for. Well, it's a sense of that. Jesus Christ has been waited for and now he is here. And he's here, even this morning, he is here. He is here in this place to reveal himself. What will we do with him? Remember who he is. Look at verse 1. It says, the beginning of the gospel about who? It's about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark's gospel is about Jesus Christ. It's a declaration of who he is. It's a declaration of his life. It's a declaration of all that happened when he spent that time ministering and serving on this earth. And here he is. He's coming to Galilee those years ago, and through his Spirit, from the youngest to the oldest here today, let's think, Jesus Christ is coming today. What are we going to do with Jesus Christ today? How are we going to respond to him today? The scene has been prepared. John the Baptist has appeared. Anybody ever been to concerts? Certain presentations where they have the support act. And they prepare for the main act. Well, in a sense, John the Baptist was the support act. He was the one who was preparing the way. You look in verse 2, it says, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. This is Jesus Christ. He's the one prepared for by John the Baptist. Jesus Christ is the main act. Jesus Christ is the central one. John the Baptist has come to prepare the way. So here he is. Who's here? Who's arrived? Who's come? Jesus Christ has come. This changes everything concerning the prospects for humanity, the prospects for us this morning in all of your situation. Notice where he comes to. He comes to where? Where does it say in verse 14? He comes to Galilee. If you contrast Galilee to Judea, or the region of that area at that time, Judea was, we might say, where the capital city was. It was the more prominent area where Jerusalem was. Galilee was the normal part of the country, where people got on with their business, working for a living, not the prestigious part of the country. That is a real place. Jesus came to a real place. Came to Galilee, mixing with real people. He's come to that place. And he comes to Felton. A real place. Comes to us with real lives. And he comes into ordinary lives. Got a special life. Got any famous people here this morning?
So he comes to real lives, comes to ordinary lives. You want to tell us about your life today? What's it been like this last week? Well, Jesus comes. The Lord Jesus Christ comes into our situations. And he's come. He's appeared. Look who's come. Look who's here. Jesus Christ is here. And it matters. It matters for me, matters for you this morning. And what's he doing? Point number two, you're following. What's he doing? What's he doing? Have a look. Have a look. What's he doing? Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. What's he not doing? Start with thinking, what's he not doing? As he starts off, what's he not doing? Well, he's not throwing loads of money around for a start off, is he? He hasn't appeared with a great money back to throw money at everybody. He's not doing that. He's not healing everybody. His healing is a part of his ministry. But it appears this is his first thing. Healing wasn't the priority of his agenda. Didn't to raid all the hospitals and to make everybody well. That wasn't the priority of his agenda. He wasn't bringing peace amongst the nations specifically, was he? If you look even at in his ministry, when he started, the Romans were dominating that area. When he finished and went to heaven, the Romans were still dominating that area. That hadn't changed. But what's he doing? What's he doing? What's he about? He's about preaching. He's about proclaiming. He's about declaring. When you see a fire, building on fire, and you know people are in there, what's the first thing you need to do? What's the first thing you need to do? It's to raise the alarm, isn't it? To declare. There's an urgent matter at stake, everybody. Respond. Well, Jesus has an urgent task. And he's here to proclaim. He's here to declare. Don't forget the priority of declaring the message. Even as we were seeking to declare it by leaflet, by the video. But to get the message out. The great privilege is today of getting out the message to declare. He is declaring the good news which comes from God. The gospel of God. The good news which is from God. It is good. It is good. It is essentially good. Beneficial. Certain foods that we give, that's particularly to our children, and we think, well, they're going to give that to our children because they're going to have good food. It's going to be beneficial, nutritious, wholesome. Do them good. Well, this is a good message which does good to those who receive it. And it's news. It's always news. It's still news today. It's still news for Philip Venables today. If you're a Christian for many years, this message from God is still news that you need to hear today. Fresh to your soul. If the gospel message has lost its savour, then we need to return and savour once again. There's a good news that has come from God. It's a good news message. And it is declared to people. It's declared to us today. And it's a message not to be kept quiet about. It's a message to be declared. And so he is proclaiming it, heralding it, declaring it. So that's our second point this morning. What's he doing, everybody? What's he doing? He's arrived. He's come. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What's he doing? He's preaching. Why now? Point number three. Why now? It says there in verse 15, it says, the time has come. The time has come. Why now?
Because God's purpose says it is now. It is now. Everything has been set up for his arrival, as it says in Galatians chapter 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a virgin. In the Old Testament, prophecies had been given, declarations had been made. An eternal plan was in place. And it must come to pass. Must come to pass. And this is the time. This is the time. And so he comes. He simply says in verse 15, the time has come. John the Baptist has appeared and done everything according to the set plan for him as we see it. Malachi chapter 3 in the Old Testament. And now Jesus has come. His time has come. His time has come to appear on September the 17th in Felton. That right, Sam? We are here in the name of Jesus. We are here to declare from the word of God about Jesus Christ. And for everybody from the youngest to the oldest, Jesus Christ has now having his time coming. Coming to you, coming to me, coming to our situation. Point number four, what's happening? Point number four, what's happening? What's happening? What's going on? He's coming. What's going on? And he says these words in verse 15. He says, the time has come. He said, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. What's a kingdom? What's a kingdom? What's a kingdom? Well, it's a place which is ruled over by a king, isn't it? It's a realm that's ruled over by a king. It's a kingdom. Yeah. Talking about the realm ruled over by God. So that's what we're thinking about. We're thinking about God's rule, God's reign. So we're in the United Kingdom. Who reigns here? Who reigns here? Queen Elizabeth II is the monarch, isn't she? She reigns in this country. Now, I was born here. So for 55 years of my life, I have been under the reign of Queen Elizabeth II. But some of you are not like that. Some of you probably didn't necessarily think it through fully like this, but you've placed yourselves under the reign of Queen Elizabeth II. You came from outside, particularly those of you who've taken UK citizenship, who were not born with it. You've come from outside, and you've come, and you've determined that you will come under the reign and the rule of Queen Elizabeth II by taking citizenship of this country. You've moved from one realm to another realm, as it were. Are you thinking about that as regards to this issue of coming under the reign of the kingdom of God? Let's think more about this issue of the kingdom and how it was working out at that time. Well, who was ruling over who was ruling in Galilee at that time? As the Lord Jesus came to preach, well, it was the Romans who were ruling, wasn't it? Yeah? They was under Roman control. That was how it was, humanly speaking. And into that situation, these people living there, the message comes, the kingdom of God is at hand. Kingdom of God. It is God is coming in Jesus to offer a new reign, a reign over lives and a reign over this world. Kingdom of God, offering something new, offering a better reign. We thought about that fourth hymn. We thought about only Christ can satisfy. We tried the things of this world, but that there's a better ruler. Now, ultimately, I said earlier, you know, the Romans were there when the Lord Jesus came. The Romans were there at the end. And yet, the Lord Jesus brought this message of a kingdom from heaven. The kingdom of God. The kingdom where God rules. Now, ultimately, all we might say, the kingdoms of this world will be gone. And the kingdom of our God will reign from shore to shore in this land. Just one great kingdom, ultimately. That yet future, ultimately. But the question is today whether we will enter the kingdom ourselves, as it were. Whether we will take Jesus as the ruler of our lives. Whether we will come under the reign of God. So who do you want to reign in your life? Okay, let's ask this question. We're thinking about a reign. He's talking about a new reign. Okay? Not talking specifically here about throwing over the monarchy or whatever. We're talking about the reign in your life. So who's reigning in your life? Who do you want to reign in your life? Who do you want to have control of your life? It's a big question, really, because everything hinges on this. Who do you want to have control over your life? Do you want yourself to have control? Yeah? You want that? Yeah. Think about that. How's it going with you in control? In a sense, if you think it's okay with you in control, then we haven't got anything more to offer this morning. If you think you at the control panel is what you want in your life, well, then you don't want God on the control panel. Or do you want others, you know? Do you want others to control you? I think that's going to be the best scenario for your life. You know, you get a therapist, you get some kind of mentor, and you say, yeah, they're the ones. If they've got their control, then that's going to be, everything's going to be fine. But you just want it to be circumstances that control you. Or get the right circumstances and that'll be fine. They'll control everything, you know, and everything's going to be fine. We know how easily hurricanes can come and big homes have all gone and all kinds of circumstances have come to make life a mess. So surely we can't be wanting circumstances to reign in our lives. Do you want fear to reign in your lives? Fear reigns so easily in our lives, doesn't it? What do you want to reign in your life? That's the question this morning. What does Philip Venables want to have reigning in his life? Who does Philip Venables want to have reigning? Ask the question now. Who do you want to have in control? You see, the king has come. This kingdom of, this whole issue of the kingdom, it's about God coming in Jesus, the king, to offer a new reign in your life. A fresh reign. A fresh life. A better life. A life with meaning. A life with purpose. A life with eternal destiny. A life of vigor and spice. Not an easy life. But the life which is for God. Mark reminded us in prayer that the important thing is that life which is for the glory of God. So what's happening? What's happening? Jesus coming, Jesus declaring, he's saying, what's he saying? The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near to you and me this morning. The reign of God, the rule of God. Point number five. What does he want? What does he want? What does he want?
He's bringing this, talking about this kingdom. So what does he want us to do? Verse 15. The word says, the time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent! And believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. What does he want us to do? Repent and believe. It is not a message this morning which I say to you, now listen, everybody, just go out and do your best now. And you might get there. You might get his reign in your life. The reign will come. This new ownership comes when we repent and believe. Because that's basically saying, I don't want me to be in control. I don't want others to be in control. I don't want circumstances to be in control. I've finished with all that. I want new ownership. I want a new reign in my life. Better ownership is on offer this morning than any ownership outside of Christ. He's the best owner of your life. So repent. Repent. There is a blockage. The blockage is in the drain, as it were, in the pipeline, if I alter the image slightly. The pipeline of having that living contact with this glorious reign that can come into our lives, this king to rule over us. And there's a blockage that prevents it from happening. And the blockage is sin. The blockage is my turning from God. My deciding I want my own way. Sin is rebellion. Sin is an outrage against the holy purposes of God. Sin is choosing my way rather than God's way. Sin is deciding I know best rather than God. Sin is saying I want to create the rules and not accept God's rules. Sin's a big word. Sin is the heart of our problem. Sin is the key issue. Don't forget that, fellow Christians. We sometimes have this image of the Christian life is repent and believe, I become a Christian. Done that. I'm going to live now. No, we live with repenting and believing. You never leave repenting and believing. Repenting then. Turn around. You're going the wrong way. It's the Australian road sign. Where, as I've mentioned previously, whether it is still the case, I don't know. If you're an Australian, you may reveal it to me later. But in Australia, apparently, it's easy to go the wrong way down a motorway. So they have signs up which say, in typical blunt Australian fashion, something like this, wrong way, turn round. Wrong way, turn round. If you carry on, you might hit a car. Going the wrong way. So repentance is wrong way, turn round. Wrong way in my sin. I want a better way. And so I need to turn round. So repent and believe. Repent and believe. Repent and to believe. Turn to Jesus. You turn from your sin, turn to Jesus. See him. What is it to believe? What do you think it is to believe this morning? Think that through. Think that through. We use it. It's a Christian word. To have faith. We use these words. What would you come up with? Yeah. Well, if I tell you, you've all had faith this morning. You've all had faith. Yeah. All of you are sitting on a chair. And so what you did, you went through an assessment, whether you were aware of it or not, you went through an assessment where you looked at the chair and you decided that that chair is of a reasonable stature to hold my weight, and therefore I place my weight on that chair and it will hold my weight. That was an act of faith based upon reasonable consideration of the circumstances.
So you did what? You depended upon that chair. You trusted in that chair. You relied upon that chair. And those are the words of faith. Depend, trust, rely. And so you're seeing Jesus Christ. You're seeing him as the one who came into the world to die for sinners. You see him, who he is. Look! Look at him! He's the Son of God! Look at his life! There's nothing wrong with that life, the only life that was perfect and pure and holy and sinless. And you're thinking, why has he come? What's he doing here? You see him, and you think, yes, he's come with a purpose. He's come to die. He's come to die for sins. And sins is my great blockage. And nobody else can deal with their sins. I can't. If I labored for 1,000,000 years to try and rectify my sin problem, I couldn't. And I'm standing hopeless and helpless, and I'm looking, where's the help going to come from? What am I looking for? Who am I looking for? He's the one. He's Jesus Christ. He went to the cross. He died, took all the judgment against sin, because sin must be punished. Sin is an offense. And offenses are taken to court, and sentences are declared. Well, sin is an eternal offense worthy of the eternal judgment of God, and he took all of our guilt. He took all of our punishment. That eternal hell. We saw it in the video. He took all of our eternal hell. How much? Took all of it. Not that he ever deserved it himself. And he calls us now what? What does he call us to do? What does he call us to do? All of us this morning. If you've never come, he says, come. He says, come and believe. Come and trust, depend, rely, commit. Come. He's reliable, you know. He's faithful. He's the Son of God. He's a faithful Savior. So, what are we to do? What does he want? What does he want? What does it say? He says, verse 15, repent and believe the good news. It's good news. So, where are we? Where are you? Where are we at? Okay, let's backtrack a bit, get the flow. Are you still wanting other rulers in your life? Come, come, we've got to be finished with that. And we just want to have God's rule. Well, how do we get God's rule in our lives? It's a beautiful thing to be under God's rule. We repent and believe. Fellow Christians this morning, come again afresh to this. Come again afresh to this. In all of your situations and circumstances, come again afresh to this great point of accepting Jesus Christ into your life. Because what has happened this week so very often is like this, isn't it? In all the issues and circumstances of life, we go to our own way, isn't it? And we end up in a mess. And we need to, once again, push into Jesus Christ. Yeah. You know, the Christian message, in a sense, if you pardon the phraseology, is about continually pushing back into Jesus Christ. Away from my sin, repenting and believing, pushing in him. And then we can have all of that beautiful grace from last week. Wasn't it exciting? All of that rich grace. That permanent grace, that personal grace. Comes to sustain our lives. See, we can know God's energy into our life. So what is to be done to repent and believe? If you never become a Christian, you're wandering in a madness, in a sense. You're wandering in a wilderness of madness. And there's an offer of a great ruler who can rule your life. And he's in it for your good. He's not a harmful master. He's the best of masters. And when we know him as Lord, we're in the best of hands. So number six then, what's the outcome? What's the outcome? Well, look what happens in the following verses, from verses 16 through to 20. You see how certain people respond. It's as if they're there, these two incidents, to show how people respond. This is people, we might say, who are hearing the kingdom of God is near. And so we read in verse 16 about Simon and Andrew, fishermen with their nets. And he says to them, come, follow me. Come. The reign of God is near. Come. And I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. What's the outcome? We're given a new direction in life. We're given a new master to follow. We're given a new purpose. Verses 19 to 20. James and Brother John, they're in their net, they're in their boat preparing their nets. And he called them. The kingdom of God is near. There's a new reign you can have in your life, a new life. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired man and followed him. They went off in a new direction, went off with a new purpose, went off with a new master, went off with a new reason for living. That's the outcome. It's change. The invasion of Jesus changes everything. Oh, we don't regret it. Doesn't mean life is easy. But it's the gracious gift of God to give us this new direction, and that ultimately has its end in the glorious heaven of our glorious God, which will be gloriously forever for the Christian. So where does that leave us then this morning? Where does it leave us? Jesus has come. He's come preaching. He's come. He's coming to us today. He's come offering a new reign in our lives. And he's saying, repent and believe. And we're saying, wherever your life is at, come and think about these things. Come think about this thing. This message is for real people. It really is for you and for me, in all the details of our lives, to see this one who is Jesus Christ, the Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and say, yes, I'm going to go for him. Yeah. So trust this morning. We're all being retrieved back to God. What's going on in your mind now? I just want to set myself a purpose to simply seek to declare to you the great gospel message. I just don't want you to leave it. If you've got any doubts, you've got to speak. You've got to speak. We don't know how long life is for, do we? Speak and clarify and seek to understand. And above all, so that you will come to this new realm of life in Christ Jesus. Sins forgiven, acceptance with God, a new master, purpose, a future. This is the grace of God shown most wonderfully in the gospel. Please. In the mercies of Christ, I beg you, don't let the message pass by. Believe in Christ and have his salvation. Let's sing our final hymn, about the great love that sent Jesus. Beyond all knowledge is your love divine, my Saviour Jesus. Yet this soul of mine would of your love and all its breadth and length, its height and depth, its everlasting strength know more and more. Let's stand and sing. Yeah.